you know, solutions to problems. So I found a reader and I took care of labeling everything for when the wages clients came back that they were there. But I think often a lot of times that being this of the Commission for the Blind, being that there's a Slate and Stylus in the drawer, and being that this is the flagship of accessibility for the world, I mean, for the state of Nebraska anyway, that issues like that should be non-issues, that they should be in Braille, and they should be accessible.
This is Pearl, and I couldn't agree more, and that's an example of our continuous, you know, learning or reminding ourselves at our recent state staff meeting with our external consultants. We worked very hard to make sure they knew that their handouts had to be in Braille as well as print. And then one of our own staff handed out a print form. You know, it's just a constant. So we try not to, but, you know, I prefer, and I don't even know exactly the deal there, but I appreciate when somebody brings that to our attention, then we go, duh, again, and we, you know, try to make sure we do it right the next time.
This is Brent.
This is Karen. Brent, just for a second, if you don't mind. In the drawer, you said there was a Slate and Stylus. There was also Dymo tape in the drawer. At orientation for wages staff, we went over the supplies that would be there. Now, I will be the first to admit that it didn't occur to me that those things should be Dymo-taped as the kids left. I didn't say anything about it. The supplies were there. It would have been a very easy thing. For that, I do apologize, because you're right. That was exactly how it was. They were lined up on the top of the desk.
So that's on our list for next time, right?
Yes, it is.
I may, yes, real quick. First of all, I want to apologize, Dave. I was the one who put the keys on the printed cards, because I myself am a print user.
So
I would really prefer to use Braille, because I know I can be a lot faster at that. So I intend to work on that. But so I do apologize. But and I myself, you know, we were in the mad rush trying to get the kids out and everything, and, you know, kind of slipped my mind. But also, there was another issue, which, if you don't mind my pointing out at this point in time, there was a lot of moving around of supplies as well. One moment, the first aid kit would be on the shelves. Next minute, I'd be looking for it, and it would be in the desk drawer. Or there would be things in the desk drawer, and they would be put on the shelves, or in a dresser drawer, or, you know. And for those of us who depend on things, who are blind, who depend on things being where we expect them to be, that can also be a major issue, especially when we're not told they've been moved. Unfortunately, I did have the need to have the use of the first aid kit. One of our kids did fall and hurt his knee, and so I did have to use the first aid kit. Luckily, it was where I remembered it to be, but there were times when I'd be like, what the heck is that? And I had to search practically the entire staff room until I finally found it.
This is Pearl. May I comment on that?
Okay.
I really appreciate knowing that. And with wages as our example, and that's probably the main program, well, it is the main program where we use contract staff quite a lot. We, you know, really depend on them as being the core work team. It seems to me that work team, I don't know if they have like periodic staff meetings or change of shift meetings or however you want to call it. And that would, I would hope, make the people who are working the program would say those things to each other. You know, we could make a list of things to be sure to point out, but we're not ever going to catch everything, and things that you think of next time, or, you know, if you say it right at the time, that would really be a great thing.
I just want to make a comment on that. That's not something that can really be helped. You have 7 staff members and 8 students that all use the same room.
Right.
It's not a really a blindness issue. It's just some people are organized and some people are not.
Yeah. And I understand that. It's just there are some certain things, the first aid kit, you know, for example, which really should be one place all the time.
Yeah, this is Karen. When we moved into the room, we did have the discussion that it should be on the shelves. I know this doesn't matter to you guys in the dorm, but anyway, we did have the discussion, but Jamie's point, unfortunately, is that is how it is. There were so many people in and out. I would be very willing to label in every manner accessible that this is where this needs to stay, because Brent, I think you're right. When you have an emergency situation and blood running down a leg, you really don't need to be able to, or need to have to go find stuff. You really don't. So that is a real important issue.
Yeah, I think you're all right. It isn't a blindness issue. It is an organizational issue, and but it does need to be done. And so I think everybody's right, and I hope that that gets solved. Were you still continuing there, Dan?
Yeah. There are two things I'm going to bring up now that I labored very long about bringing here today. I understand that. Well, this is hard to do. One more thing with the computer. I ran across today when I came to work when somebody had shut the volume off on the computer, which isn't it. You're not going to fix that with JAWS, because JAWS, even if it's activated, will not work. I did bring this to Karen's attention, and the response that I got was, I don't know who would have done that, and that was the end of it. And I didn't feel as if that I was going, this needed to be cured. This absolutely needed to be cured. Because this is an issue. I mean, if a person can't even restart the JAWS or even be able to tell what screen or where they are at, it will stop you from doing your work. It will stop you from recording your records. And it'll stop you dead in your tracks. I did find the person who did this, which is a sighted staff member, and took it upon myself just to mention, you know, could you not do this? And then sat down with them and showed them how to deactivate JAWS so they didn't have to pause the computer. I think that was something that probably should have been handled by management, and not me as a blind staff member. That type of training, I think, for the sighted staff member needs to be handled in training, so they know how to shut the JAWS off without deactivating the computer. Many of you know that I plan on becoming a travel instructor, and God willing, and pass my GRE, I go to Louisiana Tech. I did call my supervisor with a concern about an issue with traveling with a client. And the response that I got, whether it was a miscommunication or whether it was differing points of philosophy between me and her, I feel that at this time it built up some barriers between how I dealt with my supervisor. And the first issue, I had called Karen with a concern that I had a client that was needing some extra travel time, and I had volunteered to work with this client because I believe that a safety issue existed. And we had a rather interesting discussion, which I agree with quite a bit of it, but I could tell as the time had gone on that I don't know, I think you seemed a little irritated with me, Karen.
And Dave, honestly, I'm not thinking of what the situation was, and I apologize for that.
I had a client.
Were you talking about the young man with the short cane?
Well, yeah, and the fact that I had stopped an accident from occurring, which is my job. I mean, I'm not saying that I shouldn't do that. I mean, that is exactly my job. That is why I was hired by the Commission for the Blind, is in a semi-custodial role. I mean, we got minors here. We got people that, And it's very important, I feel, that I do my job, and I will do my job to the best of my ability. However, the comment that you made to me that really set me off for the rest of the program was at the end of our conversation, you said, "By the way, this client is a good traveler." And I wasn't sure what to think of that. I thought, my God, if it's one thing that I have realized as I came here, when I first came here, I called Jeff Altman the cane Nazi and absolutely wouldn't even touch a cane. Now I've kind of become the cane Nazi. Interesting role reversal. But I was, at that point, was so worried because I felt that my concerns were not being listened to. I didn't feel that you were approachable about this subject anymore, and I did also feel that I had gotten into a situation where I needed to devote more time. I offered the clients in the program at that time an opportunity. I said, if anybody has any travel questions, when we're sitting, you know, down after dinner, you know, we always took some time out. If anybody has any travel questions, you know, please come to me and we can talk about them. And I did work with, I'd say, six of the clients on travel, just up and down the hallways. And it did make a marked difference. And it made my job easier. I just, at that point, I realized that maybe our philosophy was just a touch different on this issue, and it did concern me in a great way. And perhaps that I'm reading this wrong, but it's something I wanted to have out in the open because I believe that there is no greater time for skill training than when we're out there and it's time to cross streets. And I was concerned that we were not going to be able to do any of this skill training, and it seemed that we were discouraged from doing any cane travel. And if I am reading that wrong, I apologize.
This is Karen. At least from my perspective, you're reading that part wrong. Because what we did day in and day out was work on the things that helped the students be more independent. The situation with the young person, this was his third time in wages. Every single time, and at Winterfest, which he also attends faithfully, we have talked about the cane issue. We have talked about a number of things. He was extremely resistant. Not resistant to using a cane because he uses a cane all the time, but the way he approached it was the way his O&M instructor had taught him. And when, Dave, when you as the third wages counselor was strongly encouraging the same situation, and it had already been addressed and has continued to be addressed, my response to you was, overall, he does do a pretty fair job of getting around. Does he do as good a job as an adult? Would he do a better job with a longer cane? Yes. And he had been talked to about that over and over and over. The one thing that I would encourage you to remember is your time with the students was much shorter as far as the day-to-day activities as the weekday counselors. And so there were some things that maybe you didn't know happened, but in the very first week of wages, not only did we work on travel skills within the building, to the job site, all of those things, but we also, and that first week there is a one-on-one counselor with those students. But the other thing was that Jane Lansaw came down and did an extensive seminar with the students also, challenging them, encouraging them. But with the students this past year, our philosophy, as I am understanding it, that Pearl and Carlos and I had discussed, was not to insist on the use of the cane that we as a commission recommend, that the students were free to use the cane that they came with if that was their choice. They also had the opportunity to use the long cane if they chose. And as you remember, we did have two students go home with the long cane.
Yes.
I will say that we have since discussed that, and as the schools say, during the time that you are in our program, you will use the cane we ask you to do. We are going to try that approach this next summer. But my philosophy is that we need to challenge the students at every opportunity. Dave, you did a great job. You really did. I will not take away from you or from any of the other staff the tremendous job you guys did.
Thank you.
But it would have also been good to be able to sit down further and talk about that. And if I was in a hurry and unapproachable, I apologize, because that wasn't helpful to you, it wasn't helpful to the staff, it wasn't helpful to the student either.
Brent Hine. I'd like to make a few comments about this as well.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I want to make one more comment before I clear the floor. I wanted to let you know I was contacted by that client a week or two ago.
A week ago, actually.
Yes. Uh-huh. And have provided that client with a proper length folding cane. We're hoping to make it rigid here before long. But the comment that was made to me is that the most independent that this client had ever traveled was with us. And I think that is a ringing endorsement to this program and this commission.
Was it that student who said it?
Yes.
About themselves?
Yes,
great.
It was.
Thank you.
I'll shut up now. I do hope I get the chance to work for you again, Karen.
I think that would be a really good idea.
I
would hire the whole group back again. I really would. It was just a tremendous group.
Thank you.
Okay, Brent?
I was just going to say a few more things about this. I discussed this about this client as well, and she had no problem with me gently encouraging him to think about the getting a long cane, and but not to as to encroach upon what his instructor has taught him, or to suggest that his or the client's instructor was wrong, which, you know, I had no problem doing that. And upon discussion with him while we were weightlifting at the rec center, we discussed the possibilities, and I found out that his main reason why he was against getting the longer cane was because the commission was saying you have to get a long straight cane. To which I told him at that point I was using a folding cane, and you know, it's better to have a longer folding cane than to have a shorter folding cane and have the problems that he was having. And at that point, he had decided he wanted to get a longer folding cane, and I'm very happy to see that the client has done such. So that's what I have to say about that.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not altogether sure what it is that we as a commission board need to, or can, or whatever to do. Maybe just being educated as far as what's going on and the kinds of things that need to happen. I guess in response to the situation about if we're going to have expectations as to, you know, students using a particular kind of a cane, I would hope that that if it really is better than the rest of the canes of the world, that the people who are working with them would be using the same kind of a cane to show how it is superior in that way. And I do think that, you know, we've dealt with these kinds of situations before where, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, if people are having choices, then they need to be able to make the bad choices too. But when it comes to administering a program, you know, if a university professor is teaching from a specific book that person thinks is the best there is on that subject, students are expected to get that book, and it doesn't matter whether they would prefer to read something else or even think that something else is just as good. While they're in that particular class, they would use those particular materials. And so, you know, I think that there are all kinds of precedents for that kind of thing, not as a, you know, we're going to see what we can get people to do, but because if you believe in what you're doing, then that's what you'll want to do, that's what you'll want to share with people. And so, you know, I wouldn't see any problem in that kind of expectation happening, and it doesn't necessarily mean that a person will choose afterward to do that, but But while they're in that set of circumstances, since the commission would be being responsible for them, I think it's certainly a good idea to have them be able to be as safe as they can be and as competent as they can be and using the best materials there are to use. But I am wondering if there is something that anybody is wanting us to do as a policy setting entity, or if this was a matter of wanting to clarify and inform and educate.
Well, I'm going to, this is Larry Mackey, and I wanted to have something clarified for me. I want to talk a little bit about the history of the agency, I guess. You know, years ago when I first started, there seemed to be a general policy, like that if a blind person wanted to work with us, they use a long white cane and they use sleep shades. And what ended up happening, I think, quite often is quite a few people didn't get served. And when I first started, too, there was quite a few programs for blind children. And, you know, all those programs involved using a long white cane and sleep shades. Well, I taught cane travel for 11 years. You know, I definitely believe in the long white cane. I believe in the use of sleep shades. But one problem I did see years and years ago was that, you know, we didn't have any flexibility in our programs in the sense that there were quite a few kids out there that just didn't come to our programs because they weren't at that level where they were going to be willing to use a cane or use the sleep shades. And as time went on with my career with the commission, I think that agency staff looked at ways of developing programs like Winterfest and like Wages that brought blind kids together so that they could be exposed to blind role models and so on and so forth, and not have mandated use of canes and mandated use of sleep shades, you know, preventing them from participating in the program. And so, well, I think everybody here would agree, you know, a long white cane is a wonderful thing. I understood from this conversation that we're going to require people to use the long white cane in Wages. I guess I'm wondering if at some point that's going to prevent or cause some kids not to come to the program. And I would hate to see that happen, because quite a few kids have, through the years I've seen, they come to the program, you know, they have a bad attitude about the cane, have a bad attitude about sleep shades, but because of their interaction with the commission staff, with blind role models like Dave and Brent, they've come to understand the value of the sleep shades and the use of the cane, and ended up coming to the center training program or working with field staff. And so, well, I'm wondering if some people are seeing a problem with Karen's philosophy or with the agency philosophy in that we're not mandating such things. I'm wondering if it's just a lack of knowledge about what the history of commission services has been and what the broader picture is, to make sure that all blind individuals have the opportunity to come into a program and have opportunities to interact with blind staff and with other blind clients.
I guess.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
I wasn't probably clear on what we decided. The students who will be participating in Wages who are cane users at this point will be asked to use the cane that the commission uses. The other students, if they are not cane users, will be provided the opportunity, because sometimes you have someone who's reluctant to try a cane and really needs to use a cane. But, you know, but that's the way we're going to approach it, is the young people who are cane users at this point in time will be the ones encouraged to use, not encouraged, have the long cane to use during that period of time. It really has worked out. I will tell you that at Winterfest last week, just at part of the presentation, we had 21 student participants. We had 15 cane users, and over half of those cane users had canes of appropriate length, as we consider. So,
if we also talk about that, we are not going to just surprise the students to say, okay, now you come to Wages, here is your long term. We are going to be working with counselors, we are going to be counseling issues, and obviously we'll be talk about it with them face, I'm sure. So students will have an opportunity to be aware that that's going to be coming up.
Barbara, this is Mary Susan.
Yes.
I'm a guide dog user, but if I wasn't, you would never convince me to use a long cane. I think it's totally wrong to make a student use a long cane. It might be showing up in the differences of the consumer groups and what you all believe, but I personally enjoy a shorter cane a lot more than a long cane. And I think to tell the cane users they have to use a long cane is totally wrong.
This is Pearl.
It is not giving the student a choice. Go ahead, Pearl.
No, thank you. I wanted to just respond to that as well and what's been said so far. I agree completely, Mary Susan, about choice and that that's the end goal. With our training programs, even the training center itself, which of course is longer than for most people than wages will be, but what we really generally have found is that unless you try something for a significant enough period of time to really get used to how it works, then try it for yourself and really develop some competency in it, whatever that skill is, you don't know if it's a choice or not. Now, there's in no way would we, after wages, say, or after the center, or after any of our programs, say, you know, now you must use this for the rest of your life. Or, to me, the thing is, they would really have the opportunity to learn how to use it, what it is, you know, about it that we think is best. If afterward they want to go to back to no cane at all, or to a short cane, or you know, whatever their techniques are, then that's where the choice comes in. And with alternative skills, you can't really trust the non-visual skills until you fully tried them, used them, and gotten the confidence. But then absolutely, if afterward you say, thanks for the opportunity, thanks for the memories, I'm going back to my what I want to do, that's fine. And we, you know, I would want to make sure that our staff do not in any way put a person down for that choice or anything like that.
I agree with my wife there. Because it seemed like what you people are saying here today is that, well, sooner or later we'll get them to use the white cane.
Short cane is
well,
out.
Okay, this is Amy, and this is the way I see it, and this is the way things have been, you know, presented to me. And this is when a person makes a choice to either enter the training center or to attend a program, you know what you're going into. You know what the expectations are. You choose to accept those and, you know, take it as it is or not. So if a person chooses to attend a program that we have and they know this is, you know, they've been working with staff, they know kind of the philosophy behind it, you're knowing what you're coming into.
You
have the choice whether you're going to participate in that fully or not.
You mean you tell the wages student before they even come that they have to use a long cane, they cannot use their short cane or a guide dog? I mean, you know, it's really not.
This is Pearl. I do want to, if they use a guide dog, we would definitely not change that. If
right.
they use the guide dog and that's their method of mobility, it would just be that if they're a cane user and have never used a long cane and they use a short cane, we're thinking, now we haven't set this in stone yet, but we've been thinking, you know, maybe this is the way that we should go to have that be, this is our tool of choice.
But Pearl, you're judging. Suppose a person had used a long cane and a short cane and then decided to use a short cane. Not all of us used short canes to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're assuming in a way that the person hasn't used such a cane and that they need to travel.
Just a minute. I think Shane was next. It seems like there was somebody else
Karen.
Who was okay. And so then it's Shane and then Karen.
And
but and Dave, and, you know, but the one thing that...
Yeah, this is kind of beyond the commissioner.
That I'm saying is that we, you know, we will do that, and that, you know, but again, this is an interesting topic, and I think that it's something that we do need to discuss among ourselves as blind people to work on understanding where each other is coming from in the same way that I'm sure that people teaching, you know, university classes or whatever get together and discuss why they use the book they use and why they're not using another one and why they're using this certain one, even though there may be some people who think it's a horrible thing or whatever, but I don't know that it is doing anything about where we're coming from in terms of the policy setting.
So I would say if they have a question on the use of Cane 1, that's for another discussion. If they have a question about the transition program, then that's what we're talking about, and let's hear their question.
So Shane, Karen, and Dave, what is what you were going to say a continuation of that discussion, or
is it? I withdraw my question. I had nothing more to say.
Mine was a continuation, yes.
I got a comment.
Karen?
Mine was going to start to be, but the other thing I did want to be sure and say, though, to commissioners is take some time during the wages program and come visit. That would be wonderful. We have seminars. It is a tremendous opportunity to sit down and visit with a really tremendous group of people. These young people are really outstanding, and it would be good for everybody concerned to do that. You can come as a group, you can come as individuals, you can come on the night we make tacos or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I heartily extend the invitation, and I would strongly encourage you to do that. Mary Susan came and visited last year. We want that sort of thing. We want that sort of dialogue, and we want that sort of involvement from everybody involved.
Well, they are our future. You know, those guys are our future, and I'll tell you, the ones that I met at the Winterfest were just, you know, I guess to be kind of cliched, they were winners, you know.
Well, at least they're given a chance. We didn't have the chance. You know, we went through school, yeah. we went through college, no job, and then we had to start from that point.
That's right.
This is really giving them a good start.
Exactly. So are there other things, you know, when it comes to...
I just like to make a comment.
Okay.
I think everything we learn is of a benefit. Like if you come through this program, you learn to use the cane, but once you leave here and your choice is either short white cane or your choice is to use the guide dog, that's your choice. But when you come through this program, I think the staff is trying to teach you the best they know. And everything we learn is not a detriment to us. It's a benefit. But then you know what your options, what is correct for you.
Well, speaking of guide dogs, you know, it's not an argument about for guide dogs and canes, but there are even arguments between guide dog uses. What do you want to get your dog from that school? This is a school. And there's quite an argument.
Where there are humans, there will be disagreement.
But you have to have dialogue.
That's right, and I think it's great.
As long as you all leave friends.
Right, that's the important part.
That's the important thing, yeah.
This is Larry Mackey. I appreciate Dorothy's comments, but one of the things I think wages was always designed for blind individuals to have work experience, to have employment experience, because so many of those kids don't get the opportunities in their small towns to flip burgers at McDonald's or do some of the little jobs that a lot of other folks get to do and get built kind of a resume, kind of a work history, develop skills in getting out of bed and getting someplace on time, those kinds of things. And that's, to me, what wages was designed to do. And if we can introduce them to guide dogs or canes or whatever, a little bit on the peripheral, that's fine. But the wages program was specifically designed to get a lot of these teenagers some work experience. And I, through the history of the program, I've had many, many clients that, you know, went clear through the program, were exposed to the different choices in travel. When they got out, they still don't use any travel aid, guide dog or cane. And, you know, they went off to college and were successful and went on and got employment. Now, is that a choice that I would make? No, I want to use my cane, but Mary Susan and Bill want to use their dog. But, you know, I just would hate for the people to leave here thinking that wages, the goal of that was orientation mobility, because it was never designed for that. I don't think it should be. It should be focused on getting these kids their work experience.
This is Carlos. The fact that it was introduced that way doesn't mean that it's going to continue that way. I'm not saying that students are going to be spending all their time on skills either, but we decided that we are going to be working on skills. But again, don't take me wrong, it's not full time, but in order to do their jobs well, they need to develop their skills or to realize that they are not doing their jobs maybe right because lack of skills. But by no means, Larry, we are not going to stop introducing things. We are going to be more assertive or aggressive on working on skills.
Yeah, I guess, it's hard for me to think about myself as a human being without thinking of how I'm going to get to and from work or to and from wherever I'm going or whatever. And so it's hard for me to imagine that a person who is going to do things as a blind person using alternatives, whichever kind of alternative they use, is going to be able to do a really good job of doing a job if getting not only to and from the workplace, but from one point to another within the workplace is going to be very, real successful without some kind of, way to get to and from and here and there and all of that. And if the person is able to do that, that whole thing without dealing with alternatives, then I would wonder about what value that there would be for that person in a program such as Wages or Winterfest, because if their vision is sufficient to do things visually, then it seems like they wouldn't need the program, but I don't want to open another can of worms or anything like that, which I may have already done.
E-government, that's the question. Yeah. E-government.
So,
this is Karen. Could I just say one thing about that, Barb, and I promise I'll
sure.
The Wages program has developed into a real global opportunity, for lack of a better word, because we keep the students here except for the 4th of July break. So they are working 30 to 40 hours a week. Our kids do not have part-time job sorts of things. They really are working a lot. But we also have a lot of opportunity to go and to do and to investigate and to experience. And that's where that natural opportunity for working on skills. You know, you could walk up and down a street forever and learn that you could find the curb and stuff, but if what you really want to do is get from Selig Hall to the Haymarket Park for a ball game, you are much more motivated to use your cane, find that curb to get there. And that's the way we're approaching it. It is in context. We don't, Dave's situation where they were working in the hallway really is kind of an extra part of things, because all of that stuff is worked into the day-to-day thing. And I think that's why it's so successful.
And this is Larry Mack again. Another thing I think is that a lot of blind individuals are living in small little towns in Nebraska, and they're not exposed to the big city too much, or don't have opportunities to be on a campus. And I think for a lot of the kids I've seen over the years, it just broadens their horizons. It kind of helps them have their first experience maybe away from their parents and away from home and in a setting where people do have expectations of them and have teach them the notion that they can have dreams, that they can have careers and homes and families. And all those things I think are part of Wages. And I'm all for the skills and all that, but like I said, in the past history, a lot of clients, when I was a home teacher in Norfolk, would not come to a program that we sponsored because of requirements that you use a cane or sleep phase or so on and so forth. And that's not saying anything bad about those things. It's just that they weren't far enough along in their philosophy, to participate in the program. And I think Wages has been a good first step, so to speak, for a lot of the kids to accepting their blindness and accepting the skills of blindness.
Okay, I think, you know, I think my quick response to that is that one of the best ways that we can help people to get to the point where that kind of thing is okay is to not talk about things as if we're, you know, you're in a situation where you can't do this, so you have to do that, or whatever. I mean, I think a lot of times the language that we use can make a big difference, and if we offer people opportunities, they're a lot more likely to accept it than if we say this is a mandate or whatever. And you know, I really think that is what happens. And I don't, you know, I used to work at the agency, and I think that a lot of times what made the difference for people, because sometimes somebody would come and say, well, I didn't want to do that because somebody told me that I had to whatever. And if I explained to them, you know, what it was that we were doing, the opportunity we were offering, the very same thing could come out sounding different. And sometimes people would think, well, you know, nobody ever said it to me that way. I guess this is my life, and I guess it would be maybe a good idea to rethink something or whatever. Now, of course, I wasn't always successful, but, you know, I think if we offer opportunities, which Wages and Winterfest and all of those programs certainly are, that will help us to do it and to, you know, back off from what is something that needs to be done doesn't generally, you know, help somebody. But, you know, I think to some degree we're coming from the same place, and we are all offering an opportunity, and sometimes we're just, you know, maybe doing it in a slightly different way from each other because we have different styles. But again, I seem to be, I'm always so interested in what everybody has to say that my tendency is to listen to people for the whole day when we really do need to move along to the rest of the agenda. We have two more items in new business, and then, you know, the setting of our focus topic for next time and the location and all that for the meeting. So we have four more items. They shouldn't be, I don't think, real long. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I've been wrong lots of times. But the next one is the e-government thing that I said we may